quote the bathroom. Okay, I'll probably use this. Okay. We welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. You know, I was thinking before the COVID virus interrupt so many things, we on many of our Sunday nights, I would allow for any feedback as it relates to the lesson we study the Sunday morning. And that is to make sure that we give every visitor, every member, an opportunity to get the clarification that they need on any subject that is dealt with. I don't know when we may do that in reference to particular Sunday morning lesson. That is, give you a chance to question, seek clarification, seek better understanding in as it relates to the lesson that was preached in the morning. I had announced what I had planned to discuss from 2 weeks ago or whenever. And that is based on the fact that we do not give God anything simply because we own nothing. Now, there is a difference between saying that and really believing it. Truly. There are great characters in the Bible who did not verbalize that, but they believe it. They practice it and they live it. There are men and women whose life we have been privileged to get a glimpse of in the Bible, who really felt strongly that whatever God gave them the privilege to be steward of, they know the ultimate owner was God. Be it their children, their house, their land, their life, there are men and women whom we have studied that have shown that characteristic. We have nothing to give God. We need to understand the width, the depth, the height of 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 through verse 16. We ask one of you brothers to read it for us. As I've said, just reading it, but it's to contemplate it and to digest what is implied and to acknowledge the awesome progress represented in the person who come to this acknowledgement. Let us hear the passage. Chapter 29, verse 10 through verse 16.
Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And David said,
mm-hmm.
Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father,
mm-hmm.
forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty.
Wait. Yours, God, is the greatness, the majesty, the victory. All of that, God, belong to you. Read on.
Thine is the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
O Lord.
Wait. It was easy for David to, because it was really David's kingdom. But David knew that he was only a servant. He was only a steward who was there just for a time. So here he's acknowledging that the kingdom of Israel and any other kingdom belong to God. Read on.
O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all.
Mm-hmm.
Both riches and honor come of thee.
Mm-hmm.
And thou reignest over all.
Mm-hmm.
And in thine hand is the power and might.
Mm-hmm.
And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all.
So David had reached the pinnacle of his life, where from a little shepherd boy, from an insignificant family in Israel, the Almighty God chose him to be the king of Israel. And on many occasions, David acknowledged his humility. And he's acknowledging it partially here. What verse are you?
End of verse 12.
Read on.
Now therefore,
mm-hmm.
O God, we thank thee,
mm-hmm.
and praise thy glorious name.
Mm-hmm.
But who am I, and what is my people,
mm-hmm.
that we should be able to offer so willing after this sort?
I want you to notice there are words here that are loaded. Who am I, and who are these people, the Israelites, that we are allowed, you have permitted to offer what?
So willingly, after this sort.
What they were giving to God in this moment of celebration and acknowledgement and worship, what they were giving to God, they were giving it willingly. We must remember that. Read on.
For all things come of thee,
mm-hmm.
and of thine own have we given thee.
Brothers and sisters, this is an awesome acknowledgement at that time in man's spiritual or religious development. You see, that time could be described as the religious teenager years, the spiritual infancy. Men and women had not developed to where they were enlightened, eyes open to so many things, to which you and me, our eyes have been opened through the New Testament gospel. The gospel was not here. The Bible talks about in the time of ignorance, God winked at. That was a part of the time of ignorance. That's right. But here is a man. And that makes all the difference, you know. When we give to the Almighty God anything, our time, our money, our strength, our talent, our influence, name it, the disposition with which it is given is what determines everything. That's right. You and I can give. Come and give every cent that you have ever earned and saved, and you decide to give it to God through the church. But if you didn't give it with the right disposition, it means nothing to God. So here is a giving where the giver and the leader of Israel is acknowledging that God, we are not giving you anything. What we are here presenting to you is yours in the first place. So we are only returning to you as steward that which belonged to you in the first place. When you arrive at that knowledge, it enables us to give more of our time, of our talent, of our money, of our influence to the Almighty God. It does. On one occasion, Paul, don't move from the passage, brother. Paul prays, I believe, the church in Thessalonica or Macedonia for their giving. And in the passage, he acknowledged how poverty-stricken they were. But then he acknowledged, in effect, he said, you know why you all give like that? Because you first had given your life to Christ. Brother Michel, what does that mean? Because they are Christian, which means they give their life to Christ. Well, that's what being a Christian should mean. But it does not always mean that for everyone. Because when we are fully, totally converted to Jesus Christ, all the other things that we are to give will be easy street. That's right. That's right. All the other things that we are called upon to give, it won't be difficult when we are first given self. In fact, may I just drop by, don't move from the passage, that, and we need to share this with individuals. And godly men and women will drop by at service probably once or twice or four times for the year. And when they drop by, they'll drop something in the offering plate. And a lot of times, that make them feel holy and good. Oh my God, that $100, $1,000, whatever they give, they feel so holy. Oh God. What they don't realize is that for God, I'm walking away. Well, I can take it, you know. Why leave it here? Yes. I have said this here many times that God wants you before he will accept yours. Very important that we keep that in mind. First, give yourself to God. That's why the ungodly men and women can attend worship, and that's good. They learn something. But to engage in true worship, they are at the wrong place. They are outside of Jesus Christ. Acceptable worship ought to be given to God in Christ. So always remember to share with God first wants you before yours become acceptable to him. And when you is completely turned over to God, you're yours, you won't have any problem with it. Read on, brother.
For we are strangers before thee,
mm-hmm.
and sojourners,
mm-hmm.
as were all our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Our days on the earth or as a shadow,
mm-hmm.
and there is none abiding.
Mm-hmm.
O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name
mm-hmm.
cometh of thine hand
mm-hmm.
and is all thine own.
And it is?
All thine own.
It is?
All thine own.
It's a lot of things. We don't intend to go in any more detail with what the gifts were, because it was a lot of material things that David organized, that they celebrate and honor the Almighty God. But here he's acknowledging that he understands that it belonged to God in the first place. I would like to spend probably the rest of the time on largely one item. In respect to giving, the COVID does present a lot of challenges. There is hardly a person that you meet today who is religiously conscious, who is not mindful of the many areas of our lives in which the COVID virus has encroached in drastic ways. Remember, it is affecting many people in negative way, because you know, people who usually go about their businesses and what, sometimes they have to be at home, work from home and what, while some people enjoy that, there are many people cannot deal with that. In addition, of course, to the health issue that it presents to every one of us. But the COVID has presented a challenge as it relates to worshiping God. Just a few weeks ago, I'm trying to remember, was it one or two lessons where I was showing in those two lessons how this virus caused us to innovate, to try to worship God in ways that we have never dreamt we would be pushed to that limit, where virtually worshiping become almost the norm. What many of us don't realize is where it creates some challenges. Just before I came in this morning, came in worship, looking over my lesson, Brother Gilbert stopped by the office and reminded me of some things that we have discussed probably some 2-3 months ago, some challenges whereby the online worship for many Christians becoming a type of substitute for true worship. I remember one of our sisters who, well, she had backslidden, but over the past few years, now and again, she dropped by and she had phoned and asked for us to give her the linkage where she can engage with us, worship online. And I think it was Brother Michael Myrie who undertook to making contact with her. And I pointed out that it's important that when people like that make contact with us, especially members, about worshiping online, we must find the time to pass on to them that that is not a substitute for personally gathering together. In those one or two lessons that I presented, I point to many passages in the Bible where the inspired writer talk about when you come together in one place. You see, that is God's plan and purpose for congregational worship. The Lord's table was never meant as a norm to be a virtual thing. Mark you. Brothers and sisters, they'll have to tie me down on the pulpit just to keep me one place. Yes, as I've said, brothers and sisters who, thank you, brother. Brother Vivian, so we don't want to tie you down, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for being so considerate, brother. Yes, there are elderly people, sick people, who cannot come out. Normally, the way Jesus Christ instituted a speck of worship like the Lord's Supper is that we come and meet around the Lord's table. That's the way it's instituted. And when Paul deal with it in Corinthians 11, that's the way that Christian, that the local congregation in any community who are members of that particular congregation, we meet around the Lord's table to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But for people who are ill and unable to come out, we have to take the Lord's table to them. That's right. But where celebrating the Lord's Supper becomes the virtually norm, where each of us are scattered all over the place at distance physically. It was never meant to be like that. Not by Jesus Christ. Not by the teaching of the Bible. And we are members who, a lot of whom do not know better, feel comfortable. It's not only comfortable, it's overly too convenient. And that's the convenient that's going to betray us. I can stay at home and do what I want to do and, catching a 30 minutes of the virtual service or a 45 minutes. And while I'm doing that, I can carry on doing other things I want to do. Brothers and sisters, worship by its very nature was meant to be something that you take time off for. This is demonstrated. Remember I told you where anything occurs first in the Bible? How important a lesson you can learn from any first occurrence. And Abraham being called upon to offer Isaac is among, remember we discussed that Cain and Abel worship was among the first. But Abraham is also down there among the first. And what you gather from God's command to Abraham is that
he leave home and get himself somewhere away from home where he would carry on his worship. So as I was saying, Brother Gilbert was pointing out some areas that he has, and rightly so. In fact, the very area where he was expressing concern, just before I came to worship tonight, before I left the house, one of our popular, very effective TV program in the U.S. The person listened to it quite regularly and saw something that happened during the service, the TV service by the Church of Christ, that just knocked out the person. Because it's like they are presenting some entertainment instead of worship. And what among the things Brother Gilbert was pointing out is things where he's wondering if what he saw, if it is really so, where it's a virtual thing, but he's wondering if it's a discussion and something else mixed with some religious thing, or is it a worship setting where it is being engaging jointly by brothers and sisters? Well, brothers and sisters worship Brother Mitchell, yes. But at no time are the sister are to teach or preach or exercise authority in a mixed audience. At no time in a mixed audience. So what is the point? That what the COVID has done, we have to be on our P's and our Q's. Because there are so many things that challenge us and make us need to go back to the Bible and check. As I said, I want to deal with a point here in our relating to the Almighty God. One of the deceptions, and I've just said it in another way, is where the virtual thing is fooling a lot of members that they can stay a yard and worship, and that congregational worship is not that important anyway. That's what they're telling themselves. Once they can catch in a little of virtual worship. Now, God expect you and me to help open the eyes of these people. Not only that, members will start finding excuse not to be in worship. What we must realize, brothers and sisters, is that it's not only our money. When we talk about giving to God, we must prioritize our time. Very important. We must weigh and think in reference to, am I inclined to finding all the time to do my business, but trying to make excuse when it comes to God's business, not to give God business the time that I ought to. I need to repeat that. We are to prioritize when it comes to our time. We are to make sure that the Almighty God and His business, be that God's business, worshiping or visiting the sick or whatever, we are to watch ourselves that we do not always come up with excuses to exempt ourselves from spending precious time for God's business as we do for our business. We have to be conscious of that. You know why? Because the Almighty God watches how we use our time, how we prioritize with our time, and how we find excuse to shortchange Him when it comes to our time. And this is one of the things that the coronavirus is doing to Christians. Of course, you know, run to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Read from verse 1. This is the passage which tells us there's time for everything.
To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die.
Well, one of the idea, hold it. One of the idea in the passage, you know, we're not going to discuss the passage in any detail, but one of the idea that when the time comes or when you set time aside for anything, do it right. Commit yourself to it. Be genuine about it. Be sincere about it. Read on.
A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to...
What sow. Verse are you?
Verse 7.
Okay, you could go on to verse... Don't worry, go on to verse 8 and verse 17.
A time to love...
No, okay, you could stop there. There are many other Old Testament passages, but the Bible tells us that there are time to seek Jesus Christ. The Bible also encouraged Christians to make proper use of time. To make proper use of time. I always like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Let us hear it. Make proper use of time.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Yeah. When it says you must walk not as fool, but as wise, it followed that by telling you part of the wise person approach to living is redeeming the time. The word redeems means to buy back, to utilize, to make the best use of time. And there is no better use for time than using it in God's service. When we use time, well, let me rephrase that. We use time for our business. and we are expected to. But the value of the time we use for our business and God's business, there is no comparison. There is no better use anyone can make than using time for God's business. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Do you know the Almighty God take note of how you and I use our time? And the excuse we make, those excuses are not normally and usually verbalized. We do not say it out. It just runs through our mind, or we act it out. I better get this done, you hear? It's my business. I better get that done, you hear? It's my business. We do not look on a brother or a sister or a family member and say, you know, I want to do this is God's business and that is my business. You know what? I'm just going to do my business. I should do God's business. We don't verbalize like that. We just act it out. And when we act it out like that, not many of us are conscious that God watches how much of our premium time is used for his business as against our business. You want God to show you that he watches? Turn to the book of Haggai. In fact, we're just going to read a few verses from chapter 1. Haggai, chapter 1. When you find it, brother.
Haggai, chapter 1.
Yes, start from verse 1.
In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying,
this is what the God of hosts says.
This people say, the time is not come.
The what?
The time is not come.
The what?
The time is not come.
For what?
The time that the Lord's house should be built.
Wait, notice we are dealing with time. And what I'm here telling you is that many of us are not conscious that it's not just our time. We are just, you know, dealing with time for this short period. Remember, I started out by saying that we do not give God anything based on the truth that you and I own nothing. The fact is, we are stewards. As we pass through this earth, the Almighty God put so much under our responsibility, and what God takes note of is how we use it. Is it our time, our talent, our education, our influence, our money, our strength? All of that comes from God. And as steward, what God is quite interested in is whether you get little or much, how do you use it? God has keen interest. We happen to be looking just on the subject of time tonight. And what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God watches how we use our time. He does. He watches how we utilize our time. How, in fact, God watches in a comparative way how we use our time. Notice the verse you have, is that verse 2?
The end of verse 2.
Read.
Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?
Let me hear verse 2 again.
Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built.
May I?
Verse 2.
Brothers and sisters, what we must keep in mind, they most likely did not verbalize that. It's just their action manifests that. In effect, when any man or woman claiming to be God's servant, we always find time to do our business. We never find excuse to delay them or put them one side. But when it comes to God's business, we are always coming up with excuses. And even though those excuses are not shared with our friend, our brothers, our sister, our neighbor, the Almighty God knows the state of our thinking. And this is what they said here in verse 2. What God said?
This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord.
Watch here now.
By Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?
The implication there, you have time to build your nice houses and dwell in it. You see how far God do? Where God take put him nose in on my business for? But this tells us how far God looks. It's the same God that gave this message to Haggai. It is the same God with whom you and I are dealing today. You have time to dwell in what?
In your sealed houses.
Your sealed houses.
And the Lord's house lie waste.
Brother Mitchell, are you telling me that God was watching the Israelites? How they have time to do their business? But they're always making excuse. If not externally, internally they rationalize that they have to get this done, their business. I have to get that done, their business. I have to get that done, their business. But with God's business, they are always procrastinating. We must be careful. What verse are you?
The end of verse 4.
Read verse 5, 6, and 7.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
And we need to consider our ways. Again, I said, the COVID virus presents a lot of challenge to us. You and I need to be alert to members who will use the facility of virtual worship that in some aspect we have utilized. They will use that as an excuse to literally become backsliders, and they do not know. You and I have to try and help them. And what this passage tells me, this passage opens our eyes to the areas of our lives that God looks into. The Israelites never dreamt that God was looking in a comparative way. How they use their time. God was looking on how they always find time to work and their comfort, their house and this and that. But they were always coming up with excuse to skip this and skip that. The Israelites, like we do, never dreamt that God looks into those details. And I'm saying, Christian, God looks into areas that we do not look into. Read a little of verse 5 following.
Consider your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Ye have sown much,
mm-hmm,
and bring in little.
Uh-huh.
Ye eat, but ye have not enough.
You know, we are going to close. I always like this passage. You eat a lot, but you're still hungry. God can do that. That sentence you have just read, brother.
You have sown much,
uh-huh,
and bring in little.
You have so much.
Ye eat, but ye have not enough.
The things are, and what this is telling us is, remember, God started out with time. They didn't have time to build God's house, but they have time to build their house. That's how God started. And my point is that we must take note of the things that God watches. Because we're not dealing with a different God today. It's the same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm saying that we must encourage other Christians that they do not, out of ignorance, condemn themselves and retard their blessing. Because what the brother is reading here from verse 5 to verse 7 is telling us of consequences, negative consequences, where God withhold their blessings simply because when it comes to prioritizing and making sure that God get premium time for his business, from all the time that he has given us, God is saying to the Israelite, you are outsmarting yourself. Read a little more of that.
Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink.
You drink, but ye are still thirsty.
Ye clothe you,
but there is still naked.
But there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes.
You know, I tell you that God will bore hole in your pocket. You can't have it plainer than this. And mark you, this come, remember, this come from God showing how they had time for their business, but come up with excuse when it come to God's business. There's much more to, but we're going to stop here. I may another time discuss that there is a divine time measurement in reference to our progress. We're not going to discuss. There is a divine, that is a heaven, time measurement. God looks on how, since when, how long you have been exposed to Jesus' truth. And if during that time you have made the progress that God thinks you should make, God looks into that. But we will not discuss that tonight until another time. Thank you. If you are here tonight and if you are not a child of God,